This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Jim Inman and David Piller in the studio with you on your Friday night. Mr. Piller, it's been a little bit chilly this week.
Jim, it's been a lot bit chilly. It's freezing, and I don't like it.
A lot bit chilly.
And, you know, we had delays this week all over our listening area, and MCCSC had theirs, and so what we always say is you don't have to make up those delay days. So even though it's a challenge on the families, and we understand that, it's also about making sure that the buses can get fired up appropriately, making sure that the buildings can get warmed up, making sure kids aren't standing out the bus stop, quite frankly. And I'll tell you, I was out late Wednesday night, had a ball game over in Richmond, Indiana, late Wednesday night, and then early Thursday morning, it was bone-chilling cold, and it was just brutal.
Unfortunately, I hate to say this, but some kids, a school is a warm place and a solid meal also, and I know the school systems don't make these decisions lightly.
No, absolutely
keeping
not.
That in mind as well. I mean, there's
not
a lot of factors, but there were some schools in Indianapolis who shut down this week but actually opened up for lunchtime
for
some of their students.
That's right. And the city did the trash service here in Bloomington was suspended and some things like that just to make sure that we don't want anyone out. It doesn't matter what age you are.
Right.
We don't want anyone out either standing at the bus stop or doing your jobs at that temperature. So anyway, but hey, Happy New Year, Jim. This is the first this is the first live show we've done since the new year because we
it
did
is.
Some recorded stuff over the breaks to fit in. So a happy 2015 to you. I wrote a check today and I got it right, so I was proud of myself. And
I've been trying to keep up with the 15, but I'm more you wrote a check?
I wrote
do
a check.
Do checks even exist
they
anymore?
They do. How about that?
Did it bounce wherever you were
Jim,
sending it to? I'm just kidding. It's all left. So.
With what I make here at WGCL? Doesn't bounce at all, brother.
Well, we got all that extra money working in the morning show for glass over the last couple of weeks, so I don't think we even got a donut out of the deal.
We got some of your mom's Christmas cookies, were very nice, and that was great. So I appreciate Mrs. Inman hooking us up.
Hey, before we get to our guests, there's a couple exciting things going on here at WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. As Mr. Piller mentioned a moment ago, we've got your school closings and delays information on our website, and of course, tune into Glass in the Morning Monday through Friday, and he'll have all the updates for that. But a couple of exciting sports things coming up. Number one, hard to believe that we're talking on the first official show of 2015. Baseball.
I love it.
Cincinnati Reds, buddy.
I love it. I don't love the Reds as much as I love my Cubs, but I love WGCL, so we're gonna talk nice about the Reds. It's a great opportunity, Jim, on Saturday the 24th. Here at the College Mall, 24th of January, the Reds caravan will be coming through town 10:30 to 1:30. So perfect time. Take the kids over there. Mm-hmm. Get them hooked on baseball at the College Mall. And it's really kind of a neat situation where some folks from the Reds will be there. Jim Kelch, one of their broadcasters, Jeff Brantley, who's a former ESPN guy, a former Cincinnati Reds, San Francisco Giant. Dick Williams, who's their vice president and assistant general manager. Then some folks might remember the name Glenn Braggs, back from the 80s, played for the Reds and Milwaukee Brewers. Jesse Winker, a minor league player. But this is the big one, Jim, and it's kind of cool. Billy Hamilton will be at the College Mall. Billy Hamilton was the second place for the National League Rookie of the Year this past season. So this is a legit Major League Baseball player. The fastest guy in Major League Baseball. He will lead the majors in stolen bases for as long as he plays. So great opportunity to get the kids out for baseball season. Again, we'll talk about this the next couple weeks, but Saturday, January 24th, College Mall, Reds caravan coming through. And, of course, when the baseball season gets up and running, Joe Smith will have all the news on the Reds, and the Reds will be on the radio here on WGCL. So make sure you stay tuned for that.
Yes. The other thing I wanted to bring up real quick, and we'll talk more about this in sports, is that, as we've been mentioning over the last several weeks, WGCL is home for your NFL coverage, and we've got playoffs details that we'll share in sports. But just highlight real quick what's coming up on
that. The biggest news is that we will have the Colts on the radio here at WGCL, Colts and the Broncos, Sunday at 4:15. And that will be from the Colts feed with Bob Lamy doing the play-by-play. The other three games, Baltimore, New England, Carolina, Seattle, Dallas, Green Bay, will have all of those. Those will be the Westwood one. But again, Bob Lamy will have that feed for the Colts and the Broncos Sunday 4:15. So really looking forward to that and looking forward to our guest day. I've gone out to the WGCL closet. I've knocked the dust off the red carpet, and we are rolling it out for someone
that's
probably a pretty, you know, nice relationship with you and your family.
Well, absolutely. Very excited to have our new Monroe County Sheriff, Brad Swain, joining us in the studio in just a few minutes. Brad has been with the Monroe County Sheriff's Department. He'll have to tell us how many years, but I know it's been a couple decades at least, and he was not inducted. I'll have to get the right term.
Sworn in, I guess, is what you call it.
On New Year's Day, and there have been a few things in the news recently that involve the Sheriff's Department and some activities across the community. So we're going to talk to Brad about that. We're going to talk a little bit about what he wants to bring to the Sheriff's Department, how he's going to put his mark on the organization as they start things off under his leadership. So stay tuned for our discussion with new Monroe County Sheriff Brad Swain on the show.
Is it cliche to say there's a new sheriff in town, and he's not really new in town.
Andy Griffith.
But he's in town, and he's on the Bloomington Review. But Jim, it's great. It's a Friday night. It's been a cold week, but it's going to be hot tonight.
Yes.
At Bloomington High School South, we've got a cat fight, Cougars, Panthers at South on the J.R. Holmes floor, Bloomington North, Bloomington South, the Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock. Both coaches will be on Chalk Talk tonight with Joe, and then the tip probably be about 7:40-ish for the varsity game with the Cougs. And the Panthers both have won 5 in a row. Should be a great game.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's give you a forecast, because hot is on the minds of the sports fans, but not so much in the weather. Give you a little bit of a news update. Then again, as we mentioned, Monroe County Sheriff Brad Swain going to be joining us in the studio in just a couple minutes. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and WGCLRadio.com. Like us there, follow us there, stream us there, tune in, and all of that good stuff. We're going to be back in just a couple minutes. Stay with us here on The Bloomington Review. Oh, it's loads of fun in the studio here at WGCL on your Friday night, January 9th, 2015. Hopefully you have gotten used to signing your checks with 2015 or whatever it is that you still handwrite these
days. Jim, I just said that a couple minutes ago, and you made fun of me for writing a check.
And that's why it was prompting me to bring it up once again, Mr. Pillar.
Oh, boy.
I know it. Hey, if you haven't been outside, it's cold right now.
It is, Jim. You know we love doing the weather, especially when it gets like this. If you're with us Friday night, mostly clear, because it's too cold even really for the clouds to come out. It's mostly clear with a low around, Jim,
yes.
One. Mostly clear with a low around one Friday night. Wind chill values as low as negative 10. So dress warm. Be careful if you're out there. Saturday, mostly sunny, high near 21. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, low around 16. Sunday, slight chance of snow and some freezing rain in the afternoon. Cloudy with a high near 31. But again, as always, all your weather all the time, WGCLRadio.com. They'll keep you updated in case we have any cancellations, delays, or other weather news. So check us out.
On a serious note, to start off news this evening here out in Greene County, friends, family, and community members around the Bloomfield area are searching for 18-year-old Marina Bolter. She disappeared from the parking lot at the Bloomfield IGA around 6 p.m. on New Year's Eve after working a shift in the store deli. There's flyers across the community, and family and friends have traveled in from across the country to search for the 18-year-old mother. The Bloomfield Police Department and the Greene County Prosecutor's Office are investigating the woman's disappearance and will not answer questions from the media about their progress or suspicions, according to an article in the Herald Times on Thursday. The blonde, 5'3", blue-eyed woman has not been seen or heard from since New Year's Eve when she was working and did not show up for a scheduled visit with her 9-month-old son, who's being cared for by foster parents. A candlelight vigil was planned for earlier this afternoon in Bloomfield, and as we mentioned, family and friends are searching the area. A lot of information about this is on Facebook, and if you have any tips on that, contact your local police department.
Now, Jim, additionally, there was an investigation for a robbery suspect the other day. Earlier this week, there was a report of an armed robbery causing the nearby schools to take extra safety precautions Monday morning while the Monroe County deputies searched for a suspect. Police did not immediately find the robbery suspect, and the case remains under investigation. A man wearing a ski mask and wearing dark-colored clothing reportedly knocked on a woman's door in the 4000 block of South Old 37 at about 9 a.m. The woman opened the door partially, and the man forced himself in. The man then produced a knife, grabbed the woman's dog, and asked if she wanted to trade. The woman gave the intruder cash, and he fled on foot, leaving the dog. Nearby Clear Creek Elementary School, Bachelor Middle School, engaged in a caution drill, and Clear Creek Christian and Lighthouse Christian Academy went on lockdown during the search Monday morning that included county deputies, city police, and a police dog. Several law enforcement officers were involved in the search for the robbery suspect. If there's an incident in the vicinity of the school, we go into whatever level of school safety plan is warranted based on the incident, said Tim Pritchett, Monroe County Community School Corporation's public information officer. So, again, at this point, no information, but as always, as you just mentioned, if you have any information, call any of the local law enforcement officers.
Let me ask you a quick question before we go to the last story here and get to our interview. What's the protocol when there is a situation like, how are you as a school principal notified? Is that a phone call? Is that a bat line, so to speak?
Yeah, you know, our director of planning and safety is John Carter, and John is usually the first line of defense on that. If we get something, obviously, from the news media directly or from the police department directly, we can get that. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it'll come from John, and then we make a call. Generally, over the past couple of years, we've had some situations where there's been some bank robberies on the south end of town. And if you think where our school is located off Sarah and Roar, bank robberies, anything that happens near the mall, We generally react to, and our doors are locked all day long.
Mm-hmm.
You get into that first set of doors, but then you have to be buzzed in from there on all MCCSU schools. But otherwise, the doors are locked, and so that's the first precaution. And then the level of threat, we basically make a call depending on if someone's got firearms, if someone – in this situation, there was a knife. We're going to treat that a little bit differently, so that's why Clear Creek and Bassar went into a caution mode, which, again, is just alertness, doors locked inside and exterior. And so we'll make that call based on the level of threat that's there and just kind of go from there and use our best judgment.
And I know that there was a little bit of, when this spread on Facebook and the information the Herald Times initially reported, there were a lot of concerns also about Lighthouse Christian Academy and Clear Creek Christian School because they're independent of MCC and so
Correct.
On. And they do have procedures in place as well for those schools. So I know this was, fortunately, nothing impacted the schools other
Right.
than being shut down. Most of the kids probably didn't even know anything was going on.
Generally,
because
we try to do that.
When it's 10 degrees outside, you're probably not out playing kickball on the playground.
You and your kickball.
I know.
That's
season
it.
Starts in a few weeks.
That's what I read.
Hey, speaking of early seasons, it's hard to believe, but people are already talking about elections for 2015.
They are, Jim, and candidates started filing earlier this week. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, it was reported that Democrat Mike Satterfield filed Wednesday for the Bloomington City Council District 3. He has previously served as the District 3 rep from 2008 to 2012. He did not seek re-election in the last election, and the seat is currently held by Democrat Marty Speckler. Speckler has announced that he wants to run again, and Democrat Allison Chopra has also declared an interest in the position. And then in Ellisville, Republican Brian Mobley filed Wednesday for Ellisville Town Council Ward 1. The seat is currently held by Republican David Drake. Mobley served on the town council for a brief period of time in 2008 before he moved to French Lick. And then in 2007, he beat Oldham and Republican Lisa Combs Creech in the primary and Democrat Ted Robertson in the general election. So a couple people with a little bit of history on some local boards getting back into it. And mm-hmm. This will not be the show where we announce we're going to be running for mayor. The WGCL slate is still not there yet.
Yes.
But the HT earlier this week did do some projections, and they say that more likely to run John Weikart, who's the deputy mayor, John Hamilton, who's a former school board member and ran for the office against Cruzan in 2011, and Rick Dietz, who's the Democratic Party chair here in Monroe County. And then some others they're saying not likely to run at this point, or they're saying they're not running: Mike Dekoff, Chris Gall, Matt Pierce, Kirk White, David Sabag, Brian Ellison, Jason Bannock, and Shelley Yoder. So a lot of familiar names. Kind of feeling things out,
yes.
I would say, at this point, Jim.
I think we still are in our exploratory committee
yes,
stage, aren't
I
we?
I think the Pillar-Inman-Glass candidacy with Klein, Wanzer, and Margaret as our kind of crew, I think we have some real legs to that, Jim. On that
I can't
note,
take
let's
anywhere
just
else
go
than
to
that.
The commercial.
All these shows are best of. That's what we're
right.
saying.
Best
we're
going to
take a break. When we come back, our new Monroe County Sheriff, Brad Swain's in the studio with us. We're going to talk to him about the Monroe County Sheriff's Department and his impact there and how he's going to take the leadership in the days ahead. We'll be back. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Pillar with you on your Friday night, or if you're catching us Saturday morning, glad you're tuning in to the show. If you have known my name for a little while. You might also have known my father's name. He was on the Monroe County Sheriff's Department for many years. And we're glad to welcome into the studio for the first time the new sheriff of Monroe County, a man who served with my dad for many years, Sheriff Brad Swain. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. And there have been many events with your father that I've sworn to secrecy.
Yeah.
You'll never learn about, but we had some good times.
Well, I greatly appreciate that very much, very much. So how has the first 10 days been since the swearing-in ceremony for you?
Fairly quiet. We've had a couple of issues to address, but it's been a smooth transition, and Sheriff Kennedy left me a very good organization.
Good. Very glad to hear that. Well, we are glad to have you here. I wanted to allow our listeners to get a little bit of background and let you tell about yourself and your experience on the Sheriff's Department and how that has all helped you come to this point today as the new Sheriff of Monroe County.
Well, I'm a Monroe County native, and graduated from Bloomington North, and have lived here all my life with the exception of a couple of years when I attended college. I returned to Bloomington and was fortunate enough to be hired as part of the additional staff for the new Monroe County Jail in 1985. It was still under construction, so I began my career at the old jail and helped move the inmates to the new jail. And after working in the correction center for 5 years, I transferred to the patrol division.
Okay.
And within just about 4 years, I moved into the investigations unit, serving under your father for several years before he retired. During that time, I interacted with a lot of the different service organizations in Monroe County, the school systems, social services, and different government organizations, and the experience I've had overall with my time as an investigator, I think served me well, staying in touch with the community and understanding how the different organizations work together, and that I think prepared me very well to serve as sheriff now.
Good. Good, good, good. Well, we've got some topics that we want to talk with you about tonight, Brad, and I'm going to let Mr. Piller take the first one since this one is close to what he does for
a living. One of the things we wanted to talk about was how the Sheriff's Department interacts with the schools, and I think there's maybe a bigger picture with how we have three or four different entities in law enforcement that all have parts of Monroe County or the city of Bloomington, but some people don't understand how the Sheriff Department may interact with the schools specifically, if you have any programming that you do, and what your responsibility is for some of the county schools.
We don't have an officer-friendly program or a DARE program at present, so our interaction is, a lot of my interaction has been with all of the social workers at the Richland Bean Blossom schools as well as Monroe County. The department itself, patrol unit, interacts with the principals of those schools, I would say, and they maintain contact if there are any particular issues in which they'd like the sheriff's department to be aware of. So our primary patrol area, our concerns with the schools, are those that are outside of corporate limits of Bloomington and Ellettsville.
Right. And then we had a couple summers ago, we had an active shooter training session at my school at Jackson Creek, and several of the sheriff's deputies participated in that. It doesn't happen very often, but when you watch the news, it seems like there's more violence in school. And maybe what plans do you have working with your deputies to interact with students or to respond to issues that may happen around schools, and how you might specifically think about training for schools versus maybe other calls that you might get?
Well, we participate in the active shooter training, and we also work with the other law enforcement agencies, so we may mix and match officers because from the different organizations, because whoever shows up, they need to be aware of what each other is doing and to work together and have the same system on searching out an active shooter, and everybody understands what each person's role is. So regardless if state police would come in and Bloomington police and then a couple of sheriff's deputies, they all work together and understand what each other is doing. At present, I don't have any goals for creating any programs with the schools. One of my concerns about that is I understand with all the challenges that school administrators have, preparing for testing, things of that nature, that I didn't want to create any kind of program to pat myself on the back and then burden staff time with the schools. Having a open relationship where people can, school administrators can be in touch with me and my officers, where they know they can contact us at any time with an issue, is my primary goal at this time.
We're talking with Brad Swain, the newly elected sheriff of Monroe County, and Brad is a very physically active guy. I mean, constantly hearing of marathons and swimming events and things like that. How do you carry that over to the deputies at the sheriff's department? How do you convey that need for physical fitness in such a stressful role that they provide, that they do?
Well, leading by example, by being now 55 years old and staying active myself, I think is a good example for them. However, the average age of our department, under Steve Sharp's administration, we were a much older department with a median age of 50. During the 8 years that Jim Kennedy was sheriff, we had many retirements and additional deputy positions given us by the county council. So we had a lot of hiring under Jim Kennedy, and so the age of our deputies is significantly younger, and a lot of them are very committed to fitness. So it's not that I have to be a cheerleader. A lot of them are already committed to fitness.
Good.
But it certainly doesn't help to see your boss out there hitting it pretty hard. So that's great. It's great for them to see.
One quick thing before we take a break, Brad. On an average day, at whatever time of the day, how many deputies are there on the road?
Three to, if we're fortunate, 3 to 7. And this covers an area that is 5 times the size of the city of Bloomington, with about a third of the staff with similar population to serve.
Okay. So a fairly good covering that can be out there and taking care of Bloomington, Monroe County.
Yes.
Good. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with our new Monroe County Sheriff, Brad Swain, talk a little bit about some of the national news and headlines that have been taking place about police and how Brad's going to be working on that on the local side to give that positive aspect of the Monroe County Sheriff's Department for the community. And we'll also talk about some of the jail programs that are coming up and as well just things that he would like to do, some of the projects that he can put his fingerprint on as well. So we're going to take a break, come back with again with Brad Swain. This is Jim Inman, David Piller here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review here on WGCL 1370 on your AM dial or 96.1 on the FM side of things. The Bloomington Review, Jim Minman and David Piller here. If you miss any part of the show, as always, facebook.com/thebloomingtonreview. Like that, check it out. And we are also streaming over at wgclradio.com. And if you miss any part of the show, you can check out the Bloomington Review page there and catch up on this show as the past shows as well. We're talking with our new sheriff of Monroe County, Brad Swain. And just talking about a variety of things on the community side of things. And Mr. Piller, you're up to bat.
Jim, you know, it's obviously no secret, Brad, that across the country, from Missouri to New York and from Phoenix to Cleveland, lots in the news about police right now. And you know, it's a classic example of things happen isolated and all of a sudden an entire profession or an entire group gets a picture painted. There's so many positive things that law enforcement does all over our community, all over the state, all over the country. I'm very fortunate to have lots of friends that work for Bloomington Police and for Indiana State Police and all of the local agencies, and I get to see firsthand all the great stuff you do. What what's the goal right now as you take over to help the community see how many positive things that the police do and how people can call on the police when they truly need them and they'll be there for them?
Well, one of my main goals is to ensure that deputies are recognized for the good work. And the carryover I had from the campaign was the self-promotion and working nearly three decades with the Sheriff's Department. You know, it's ingrained in my blood, and I want to show our organization in the best possible light. So having a good relationship with the media where I can reach out when the deputies are doing something good or we have a new program. I think being open and honest if things don't go well, if something does happen, to address it and be totally open and honest about it and go on. So I believe self-promotion is a good thing for the organization, and when people have a good perception of the Sheriff's Department, they will feel more comfortable about communicating with us if they have any concerns.
And Jim, there was a situation recently where some deputies mm-hmm. got to be recognized.
There was. There were deputies Mike Miller, Nathan Williamson, and Spencer Parr. They responded to a call of a suicidal man on a Thursday, and ended up that Officer Miller found the man in the basement, cut the cord, and started CPR on him. And then Williamson went to get a rescue mask from a squad car, and Parr worked with the family through all of this. And deputies successfully revived the guy. And, I mean, hopefully this is going to be a story that has a much happier ending than what was anticipated by this man initially.
Yes, we all hope so. I know, especially working in the jail, that a person in a suicidal state, that state it can be very brief, and if there's mm-hmm. intervention, a lot of times they can turn their life around, and I certainly hope that that is the case here.
We're talking with Monroe County Sheriff Brad Swain, and just a variety of topics here tonight. What are some of the programs that you're wanting to bring in as you step foot as the new sheriff in Monroe County, some of the programs that you're excited about that are already existing or new things that you want to bring to the organization?
During my campaign, one of the things I stressed was I intended to improve visibility of the Sheriff's Department. We've already discussed how sparsely we are spread across the county, and to have unmarked patrol cars and not waving our flag, so to speak, on the rare times in a remote part of the county that a deputy might be out there, and losing that opportunity of exposure, I didn't see that as being good for the community or our department. So one of my priorities is to get our unmarked cars marked. Additionally, my captain of operations, rather than being in an unmarked car, has kept his marked car. He lives outside of Ellettsville. So as he is performing, coming to and from the department, there is that exposure. So that's one of my immediate goals, is to improve visibility of our department.
As the child of a police officer, there were a few times in my younger days when my dad had a squad car where we had to stop for good and bad reasons. Somebody would be broken down on the side of the road, and Dad would stop and help out and, you know, get on the CB radio at the time, because this was in the days before cell phones, and you know, get the message out, get somebody help. Or if somebody was acting a little squirrely for whatever reason, it was very simple to flip the sirens on and, you know, do what was needed to be done. And I have always appreciated a marked squad car, because it does give a sense of comfort to a lot of people when they see that, if there is concern in their neighborhood or on the highways or whatever the case may be. So I appreciate that you're bringing those back. I really do.
Yeah, and we should also let the listeners know that sheriff's deputies here have take-home squad cars. So those cars are parked in their driveways for further exposure. So even as they're conducting business off-duty and they might be using the car, there is that, I guess the military term would be a multiplier effect by just mm-hmm. having that exposure. And so that's another reason to have the marked cars and why I plan to get these unmarked cars striped pretty
right.
soon.
Wonderful. Wonderful. What else have you got coming up, sir?
One of the other issues I want to address is response to dangerous persons. to have an action plan when we are interacting with dangerous persons who have firearms, who are misbehaving, where the deputies understand how they can enact the Laird's Law to take in firearms for safekeeping, as well as if a person needs to have their handgun license revoked, that they're aware of the process, which includes submitting documentation to the State Police Firearms Board and appearing in a hearing in Indianapolis, that they understand that they are encouraged to follow through on those procedures if they if that needs to be done. I should note that, by and large, handgun permit owners are not a crime issue at all in Indiana. But there are some people, and handgun owners or firearms owners would all agree, there are some people who shouldn't have them.
Right.
And that law enforcement needs to respond appropriately. And I just wanted to make sure that we have that action plan in place so the deputies have an immediate way of referring to options they have if there is a person with a firearm that probably shouldn't have it, at least for a short time.
Right.
Brad, what about the jail and the justice facility? Any plans for any changes down there?
The jail, we have some things going on right now. We have approval for upgrading some kitchen equipment, which is always exciting, and I'm sure people love to hear about.
Right. Right.
However, one of the goals is to expand the jail on the first floor once some room is made available in one of the records rooms. And then once that issue is addressed and solution to finding new space for the records is done, there is a contract approval to install a couple of cells that are specific to addressing the needs of inmates who have mental health issues. We have a psychologist on staff or a psychiatrist, I can't recall which, and it would make it easier for Dr. Weller to see to the needs of those with mental health issues. So that's something that Jim Kennedy started in his administration that I hope we can see to fruition before the year is out.
Sounds like a plan.
Huge piece. The mental health piece is such a huge part of a lot of things going on in the community.
Yes, and we have a new law that has come into effect to divert inmates from being sentenced to Department of Corrections, so we run the risk of jail overcrowding, and those inmates with mental health problems are one of the biggest risks of this failing. I should also note that the courts are exploring having a mental health court specific to addressing the needs of those with mental illness, so hopefully we can support some of those programs that come into place with a better facility.
There's been talk off and on over the last few years about a new jail or some kind of new facility down in the old RCA area down off of Rogers Street. Do you know anything about that? Are there any updates? Is that any kind of potential at all?
I haven't heard anything about the RCA facility since 8 years ago. They were exploring that. Mm-hmm. I haven't been privy to a lot of plans that I might very well now. However, there's not been much talk about building a new jail. If they do, I would hope that the modern design of jails now, we could operate with less staff than we have now. Ours is poorly designed.
The infrastructure of the building, you mean?
Yes, just the layout. Mm-hmm. The staffing level needs to meet just the insurance, what the insurance companies tell the county we need. The modern designs, we could operate with less staff if need be.
Interesting. So. I didn't know that. Most people don't take the opportunity to spend some time in a jail, so they don't know the ends of the decor, if you will, of what it's like.
Inman, how long has it been since you've been in jail?
You know, when I was a little kid.
Here we go.
You said, Brad, that it was around 1985, 86, when the new jail, as I would call it, was built. Is that right?
Yes.
I remember going there. They had a tour of the facility.
There you go, folks.
And my dad pulling the door slam jokingly and that click clink sound. And I've been to Alcatraz once in my life, and they did the same sound. And I don't like that sound. There I don't want to hear that as my bedtime story ever. Well,
stay out of the
life.
Backseat of the cars and stay out of the jails, and I think you'll be all right, Jim.
I certainly hope so. I absolutely do. Anything else, Brad, you want to talk about before we head out?
An additional program in the jail is New Leaf, New Life, in which local volunteers work with inmates, specific inmates who qualify to try and give them a better understanding of being a part of the community. This program's been in place in the jail for quite a while. They did lack support for these same persons once they were released, and now they are operating a support office. So there is carryover with the counseling and things they receive, and that is down in the Perry Township Trustee Office Complex, if it were. And it's great to know that, you know, that the inmates who are incarcerated have the continuity on the treatment and counseling they were receiving in the jail, and hopefully it will hopefully divert some from returning, and given the costs of housing an inmate, that if just a handful are diverted and don't come back to jail and then give us a major medical issue, then it's a program well worth the time and effort.
It's fantastic. Awesome. New Sheriff Brad Swain, glad to have you aboard, sir.
Congratulations.
Yes, very, very, and much appreciated for coming in tonight. We do appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here.
We're going to take a break, folks, come back with some sports and wrap up the show. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Not much time left in the show, so we're going to hit it quick and hit it fast here in sports. Of course, as we mentioned, if you're catching us Friday night, it's a big city game tonight on Friday night, Mr. Piller.
Yeah, it's a great game with the Cougs and the Panthers at Bloomington High School South and boys basketball tonight. Both teams coming off five-game win streaks. The Cougs over the holidays won a tournament in South Ripley. Over towards Cincinnati, they also knocked out Franklin and Whiteland. So the Cougs kind of coming in riding high, and then Bloomington South, after the holidays, took care of Eastern Green and then also beat a pretty good Noblesville team. So, again, both teams coming in on kind of a nice hot streak. You've got some senior leadership, Johnny Jagger, amongst others, with Bloomington South. Tucker Blackwell, a really, really strong junior, kind of taking on some freshman and sophomore at Bloomington North. So we'll see if the experience that South has will take over. South has won 14 of the last 16. But the Cougs won both meetings last year, both in the regular season and in the sectional, which, of course, led to the Cougs going all the way to the semi-state. So should be a great game. If you're not there right now, chances are you're probably not going to be able to get a ticket. So Joe will be on the radio here tonight as soon as we're done with Chalk Talk with both Andy Hodson from North and Jared Holmes from South. Tip-off for the varsity contest, probably going to be somewhere around that 7:35, 7:40. So just stay tuned to WGCL when you're done with us. For some great high school basketball action. The Edgewood Mustangs also playing pretty good basketball right now. They're hosting South Vermilion tonight at the Corral. So another good one. If you're with us Saturday morning, I hope you know who won because it was, but it was a good game.
There you go.
Anyway, Saturday morning you're with us. The Hoosiers are coming up soon. So IU will take on number 22 Ohio State. Game is here in Bloomington at high noon. Jim, the Hoosiers Monday night. Did you watch any of that?
No, I don't know. That's another story, but we don't have time.
Did
so.
You? Well, let me ask the other question then.
Yes.
Did you have the lights on?
Yes, I did.
Well, then I really have no excuse for how the Hoosiers played. because it
70
was
70 to 50 is a little
rough. Well, and I'll tell you, it was the score was 70 to 50, but it sounded like, looked like, and felt like it should have been 40 points in between because IU just didn't do much of anything right. And these games were going to happen. We knew that when you have no real senior players, but you still have Yogi out there. Emmett Holt played okay. Johnson played okay. Blackman did not shoot well. Perea did not play well. Williams was a non-factor. So the Hoosiers have some work to do. Ohio State, again, is going to be one of the better teams in the Big Ten this year. So I think the Hoosiers have got to win today to really make sure that they stay in the top half of the league. The Hoosiers also are at the Assembly Hall on Tuesday. They host Penn State, who that's definitely a game you've absolutely got to win. So a couple coming up here for IU men's basketball that are going to be some bigger games earlier here in the year.
Absolutely. Talking about basketball, we've got the Pacers. They're 14-23 right now, not on the big side there, but they are playing tonight, Friday night, against the Celtics at 7 o'clock is the tip-off for that, and then they play tomorrow against the 76ers. That's a 7:30 tip for that game. And then, as we mentioned early on, the Reds Caravan's coming to Bloomington on Saturday, January 24th, 10:30 to 1:30 out at College Mall. And wear your red, because the Reds will be the official team
of WGCL. Yes, so that's what we love. Yeah, the Pacers, you know what? Brad Stevens, coach of the Celtics, former coach of the Butler Bulldogs, he's back in town. Tyler Zeller, older brother of our very own Cody Zeller, will be in with the Celtics as well. Kelly and I got to see this game in Boston right around in early November. So now they're here in Indianapolis. We'll see what happens. Decent game. We'll have to defer to Doug Hughes to give us the full Pacers update. But also this weekend, Jim, WGCL is your home for NFL football. The Ravens, the sixth seed, Baltimore Ravens, who knocked off Steelers last week, they're going to be visiting the Patriots. We're going to have pregame 3:30, 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. That'll be a great game. Cold weather. We'll be ready to hit that. And then Saturday night, at approximately 7:45, when the first game concludes, the Panthers of Carolina will go to Seattle for the Seahawks. Defending Super Bowl champions are the favorites there, of course. And then Sunday, a big one, Dallas goes to Green Bay. The frozen tundra will be extra cold for this one, and I hope it is for those Cowboys. Freeze them out up there. Cowboys, Green Bay, early kickoff, 12:30 pregame as well for a 1 o'clock kickoff. And then a big one, Colts and the Denver Broncos. Sunday night, 4:15 pregame, and that one's special because we're going to have the Bob Lamy Colts feed. So you're going to hear the voice of the Colts calling that game. The rest of those games are all Westwood One, but WGCL Radio, your home for NFL playoff football.
And check WGCLradio.com for all your sports schedule. High school, basketball, NFL, Colts, you name it, we've got it. Stay with us. We're going to wrap up the show. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Just a couple minutes left in the show. Thanks again to new Monroe County Sheriff Brad Swain for coming into the studio tonight. If you missed any part of Friday's show or Saturday on the replay, then head over to WGCLradio.com and check on the homepage there. Should be up by noon on the website. And as we mentioned earlier, we've got the big game tonight, Bloomington High School North versus Bloomington High School South, right after Chalk Talk with Joe Smith. If you're catching us Saturday morning for the replay, Your Money with David Hayes to follow. He's got College 101 and Randy Stigmuller talking about getting your high school kids and junior high kids ready for college planning. Mr. Piller, the warmth of the season is not upon us, is it?
It is not, Jim. Friday night, if you're with us, again, mostly clear with a low around 1. Wind chill values as low as negative 12. Saturday, mostly sunny, high near 21. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, low around 16. Sunday, slight chance of snow and freezing rain after 1 o'clock. Cloudy with a high near 31. As always, all your weather, all your time, all your delays and cancellations on WGCL and WGCLradio.com.
You've never had to ride in the back of a squad car, have you?
I have not.
It's an experience.
You know, I did one time when my friend Jim Jackson was Indiana State Police. We went to a ball game, so got there fast. Okay. That's all I can say. Jim, if there's a lot going on this weekend. If all these other things we've talked about, all these basketball games, the football on WGCL Radio, Julie Warren sent us out. We love Julie Warren,
yes.
And she sent us stuff. Farmers Market, Winter Farmers Market is at the Harmony School Gym. It's free Saturday from 9 to 12:30. IU women's basketball Sunday at 2 o'clock. Tickets are still available. That's at the Assembly Hall. And Jim, you know I love this at the Bluebird.
Yes.
$6 on Saturday night, Hairbangers Ball. Rock out to some of the best songs of the 80s.
Are we going?
We are not going this time. I'm sorry, Jim.
All right.
Hey, Happy New Year's. We had a great New Year's. Kelly's with us here in the studio. She's not going to say anything. She's just shaking her head. But we went to New York City for the little bit after New Year's. We can't take that ball dropping stuff that happened up there.
Right.
But Times Square, great. Went and saw Kinky Boots on Broadway, and it was absolutely amazing. And you're laughing at me.
I just think it's great.
And we went to the house that Diane von Furstenberg built, the House of DVF. If you've not seen that show on the E! Channel,
no.
It's a reality show about style and
Five
fashion.
Seconds left, sir.
We got it.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay warm, and we will talk to you next week. WGCLradio.com if you miss anything. Bye-bye.